There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. The Radio Book Club. Official ticketers past this point only.
Yeah, Yvette Judge is with us from the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature. Should Steph stay or should Steph go?
I don't know. If she went, then I wouldn't feel bad if she doesn't win, would I? I don't know.
No, really. No. She's got to hand it to me on a plate, Steph.
I've got to say, what Yvette's been doing recently, and I think I've noticed this, and I've got you, Yvette. I feel like you're doing, like, one for you, one for you.
I was such a fair parent.
Yeah.
He's a little sweetie for you, and a little sweetie for Mar this week. You can be as brutal as you like, so I think we'll get straight into it, shall
Let's
we?
Let's do it.
Yeah, here we go.
Misanthropic. Ignominy, admonish, rapacious, incomprehensibilities. Word for the week.
So, just remind us, Yvette, what that word for the week was.
Well, I think, because I wasn't here, Penny was here, I think it was brouhaha.
It was
brouhaha. Brouhaha.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to say, I'm not in the running today, but Penny did crown me the winner last time. Just putting it out there.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
And it means noisy and overexcited. I mean, that could describe Steph pretty much every day of the week.
Unless she loses.
Right, let's get into it then. Do you want to go first, Steph?
No, I do not want to go first. You're going
okay.
first.
Mark Lloyd goes first. Here we go. Brouhaha. We are live once again from the red carpet here of the Dubai International Film Festival in its 14th year. And I'm getting all brouhaha right now as we're catching up with our Steph.
Now then, let me just start by saying, didn't we bring in a new rule that said you cannot use it the day of the competition event?
Yes.
I think we do.
So when did you use that?
Hang on a minute. I've been ill. You know, I've been off. I lost my voice completely. So the reason that I did it today was because I got a voice to actually do it with. I could have done it yesterday, but you know the pressure when you're down here. It's intense. I think that was chopped a bit early. You know, there's a bit more at the end of that would have given me a better chance. Let's hear Steph's word for the week.
Yannick's been on as well on 4001, says, I'm in the afternoon club, but what is with all the brouhaha behind you? Are you not in the studio today? No, absolutely not. We're on the beach.
Oh, do you know what? There's no contest.
Yeah, it was a good one this week. Yeah, I've got to admit.
Steph, the winner.
Yes.
Woohoo! Do you know what the best thing about that is, Yvette? So we're there, and I think that was from our live broadcast.
Yeah, it was on the beach.
Mm. I didn't even know what the word for the week was, and someone had texted that in, and I just read it out.
No.
Yeah. A listener, whoever you are, thank you so much. Totally.
Yannick. It was Yannick.
So Yannick wins. Well done, Yannick.
Yeah. Yannick, you're our word for the week winner. Yeah, I got a funny feeling I wasn't going to crack it this week, but, you know, I was a bit under the weather, I'm back to full strength. I'm back to full strength again now. So we got a new word.
We've got a new word, which could also probably describe anybody here. Because the word for next week is incorrigible.
Oh.
And it means you can't change them, so you can be an incorrigible liar.
Flirt.
Actually, or, you know?
It's always flirt, isn't it?
So it's like
whenever
somebody that
says that word, there's always flirt that comes straight after it. You're an incorrigible flirt.
Yeah. Someone has set in the ways. Is that it?
In a bad way. Yeah.
In a bad way.
Yeah.
Right. Steph, I think we'll let you go and celebrate with all your celebrity friends.
I will. Don't worry. We'll have a little party together.
Yeah, congratulations. Our champion for the word of the week, Steph, is about to leave the building. We'll catch you a little bit later on, but we're going to get into some Ossif.
Office.
I keep saying that, don't I? Ossif. A bit of Ossif. Gossip. So what's going on at the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature then?
So it's getting madder and madder, of course, but quite exciting this week. I was allowed to glimpse what the printed programme's going to look like. Well, a couple of pages anyway. It was whipped away very quickly before I could criticise in any way, but it's looking good. And I'm also delighted to say that there was slight doubt yesterday that our lovely director and CEO, Isabel, would make it back because she was in Cambridge and it was snowing. But anyway, I think she had a pretty nightmarish journey back to Heathrow, but I got an email from her today, so I'm guessing she's back.
Yeah, I don't understand this. I mean, you know it's going to snow.
I know.
Should be prepared for it.
No.
You know.
No, we love this.
I mean, the country, not Isabel.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Yeah.
So how's it looking, the layouts?
It's looking good.
Do you know what colour it is?
Very pretty. I think we're on white paper, but with lots of lovely colours inside.
So no sneak peek for us.
No, I was allowed an opinion on the size of the font. Because they know I'm blind.
Okay, that's good to know.
Okay, so that's the office gossip. I think we've got a little bit of book news as well, haven't we?
We do. Speaking of font sizes, we did spot this article.
Yeah.
And it's about whether you should gift someone an e-book or an actual printed book for Christmas. What would make a better present?
See, I can't imagine gifting anybody an e-book.
Me neither. How do you wrap it up?
I know. I mean, I've given them... I suppose I have given vouchers, and I suppose effectively that's sort of what you're doing, but it's just wrong.
Yeah, you can't put it under the tree.
No.
But you can get those gift cards. I'm all for e-book, in case you haven't noticed. But
yeah.
You can get one of those vouchers. They're like little cards. You can put a little bow on it if you like and stick it under the tree.
But that, yeah, it's just for any book, isn't it? It's not for a specific book. It's,
I suppose.
And I think for me, actually, choosing a book for somebody is quite a hard thing to do. Because you've got to really think about what I might want to like reading and borrowing when they've read it, obviously. But about the person, what they like. Yeah. So there's a lot goes into choosing a book for somebody. And I think it's just a cop-out to give an e-book.
I think the kids are definitely still going to want the annual under the tree.
Definitely.
You know, and open it up and flick through the pages. Do they do annuals on the e-book?
I don't know. I can't imagine they do.
There's your e-book annual for Christmas.
Yeah, these are Beano.
But what about giving someone an e-reader?
Or Eno. Eno.
Oh, no, an e-reader. Now, that's different, because you can unwrap that.
Exactly. It'll be in a box.
It's a gift. Yeah. And that's fun. Yeah, then you lose them for Christmas Day, because they're engrossed in setting up the e-reader. No, I think that's an acceptable gift. And I do use my e-reader a lot, either on the iPad or the Kindle. And for travelling, they are brilliant. But I think for Christmas, for gifting, it's got to be the real thing.
So, final verdict. If we have to pick one or the other, an e-reader or a book, what are we actually gifting?
A book.
Book.
Yeah.
Having said that, I haven't bought anybody a book this year so far. But you never know.
Time
will tell. Right, we're going to come back with more great reads on the show and maybe even a stocking filler or two on the Radio Book Club.
The Radio Book Club. Official ticketers past this point only.
Yeah, something that we do each and every week is look at a whole range of books with Yvette from the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature, and this week being no exception. We're going to get straight into it with a travel book, Yvette.
Yeah, I think so. It's a travel book with a difference, I suppose. It's called Havana, and it's by Mark Kalansky. This was a writer I didn't know, and I'm ashamed of that, actually, because now I've discovered what he's written. He's awesome, and he's coming to the festival next year.
Is he?
He certainly is.
All the way from Havana?
All the way from Well, New York, actually.
You have to play the song when you walk in.
I know.
Havana.
Yeah, I know. It's stuck in my head. Don't do that. So, So he looks at not just travelling there, but the history. It's fascinating.
Yeah, I did find something where he's talking about why he wrote the book.
This book came about because the publisher Bloomsbury was doing a series where they asked different writers to write about a city that they loved. A small, somewhat personal book. And somebody did Paris, and somebody did Florence, and somebody did Prague. And then they said, oh, why don't we get Kurlansky to do Havana? And there's a certain amount of logic to this. I've been going to Havana fairly regularly since the early 1980s. But also, I am a guy you should get to write about a city. You know, it's like I'm not a naturalist, I'm an urbanist. I love cities, and I love the Caribbean. I've written four or five books about the Caribbean. And Havana is the great Caribbean city.
It is, isn't it? And it's the hot destination now. Of course, it opened up, didn't it, last year?
Absolutely. I'd never really thought about going there, but reading this has really made me want to go, because it just sounds fascinating from the old bits, the new bits, what's happening there with, you know, the changes socially that are happening. Oh, I want to go.
So what's it like, the book, is it about, like, a history, or is it like a guide of where to go?
It is. It's both those things, and it is incredibly readable. I mean, it looks quite a thick book, actually, I suppose. Quite dense in terms of the text, but he's such a good writer that you just fly through it. So he takes you right back to the beginning, But he really gets the atmosphere. And he quotes lots of literary characters like Hemingway and so on, who spent a lot of time there. So it's a great book, really very, very readable. And I think this will make a great festive gift, actually, Havana, Mark Kalansky.
Yeah, and read it, I suppose, before you go and visit
the city. Absolutely. Yeah, it really would make you want to go.
Fantastic. So there's a great travel book for us, Havana. Heading to the kitchen next.
Yeah, and we've got Nigel Slater introducing this book.
Yes, please.
I love the crackle of winter. The innate crispness of the season appeals to me, like the first fresh pages of a new diary. This is the story of my love for the colder months, packed with feasts, folk tales, and over 100 recipes for warming dinners and Christmas classics. Join me in celebrating my favourite time of the year. We'll be safe here, toasty and well-fed.
What's on the menu then?
Yeah, that's just how the book makes you feel. So last week I was in a much, much colder place with snow. So I was trying to think of what should I do for this week, and this one just sprang off the internet at me, actually. And I like cold weather food. Mm-hmm. It is comfort food, isn't it? It's a feel-good thing. But this is just so readable. It's got stories in. It takes you right the way through. From November until February, all the different sorts of foods that you can cook.
So the book is called The Christmas Chronicles, Notes, Stories and 100 Essential Recipes for Midwinter. So it's not just about what to cook.
No, it's not just a cookbook. It's got brilliant photos and the recipes are good, actually, and they're not that hard. It's got some... I hate Brussels sprouts.
Oh.
However, I actually read this and thought, I can't quite fancy some of these. It's got Brussels sprout salad with oranges and things like that. I could eat that.
So have you experimented?
No, I haven't yet, but the family are back soon.
Yeah.
They're going to be...
Yeah, is it going to taste the same though, is it? No, you know, because it's a lot warmer here, isn't it?
It's a lot warmer here, but I think turn the AC down.
No, having said that, just the other day I was thinking of cooking because I cook for a week, and I thought, oh, you know what? It's getting a bit cooler. I need to cook hearty things now.
Absolutely.
So I made some chili, I made some soup. You know, I switched
you need
over.
This book. It's perfect.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good
definitely.
Hearty food.
Hearty food, yes. So that's the kitchen book. It's called The Christmas Chronicles, Notes, Stories and 100 Essential Recipes for Midwinter. What have we got for children's book then?
Well, one of my favourite writers is Catherine Rundell. She hasn't written that many books, but whatever she writes is really quite unusual. And this one actually sort of matches up with a book that hopefully we're going to talk about later. Now, in this particular book, the children are on an aeroplane and there's a bit of a disaster, plane crashes, and it's all about what happens to them afterwards. She always has little notes of magic in her books too, and she's such a skillful writer. She doesn't write series, they're standalone books, and I would say this will be brilliant to read aloud to an 8-year-old, and certainly a good reader at 8 could get on with it very well, and 10 upwards would love it.
Is it a bit of a darker book then?
Not really, no. It's just a good read.
Okay, here we've got Catherine Rundell. She's talking about the inspiration behind the book.
I've always wanted to write a classic adventure story. So the inspiration behind The Explorer was my desire to write something that would be about daring and about bravery and about children performing acts of extraordinary courage against all odds. But then there were also other things. I went to the Amazon jungle a few years ago and fell completely in love with it. So I also wanted to write a story that would make children see just how extraordinary the beauty of that place is. The thing I would most love readers to take away from the novel is one line. It's spoken near the end, and the person says, "You're right to be afraid. Be brave anyway." I wanted to write a book about that, how completely sane it is to be frightened a lot of the time, and how it's still possible to be brave nonetheless. I think I wanted, perhaps most of all, to encourage children to pay attention to the world, to perhaps see that you can be an explorer no matter where you are, that maybe attention and love are so closely intertwined that they're almost indistinguishable, and that maybe the main thing we're asked in this world is to pay attention to it.
Yeah, I like that, don't you? You know, it's all right to be frightened, but you can still be brave.
Yeah, beautiful description of the book.
And
if your children like adventure stories, this really is the one for you. What she cleverly does is she sets it before technology could intervene.
Oh, wow.
So they really are truly abandoned in the Amazon, eating tarantulas. It's like, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
Yeah, I was just hearing her talk about, you know, imagining a place and talking about going to a place. I have to say, I remember reading quite a few books about different places.
Yeah.
And then as an adult, when I got the chance to visit all of these places, it was absolutely incredible because all these stories came back to me.
Completely especially agree.
Yeah, stories about history and, you know, mostly about Germany and the war and England and everything. And when I went there, it was as an adult, I remembered all of these things that I'd read.
And it's like, it's real.
Exactly.
They've got all this stuff here. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, no, I completely agree. So I think this is a really good book for eight and upwards.
And what's the title again?
The title is The Explorers, very simple, by Catherine Rundell.
Excellent. Now, when we come back, we're going to be coming up with more great books to read on our travels, and we might even throw you in a podcast for good measure as well.
The Radio Book Club. Official ticketers past this point only.
Yeah, something we do each and every week with Yvette from the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature is go through some great books. We've taught books for children. We've been into the kitchen. And I believe we're going travelling next, Yvette.
Well, yeah, we put to read while you're travelling, actually, that might come in handy. So following on from my children's book, The Explorer, where the children crash landed in their plane in the Amazon, if only they'd had this book, which is How to Land a Plane by Mark Van Hoenacker.
Now, I looked it up online because I was quite intrigued by the title.
I know.
It literally is about how to land a plane.
It literally is about how to land
a plane. So it's like a manual, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's worryingly short.
Press the land button.
56 pages.
Yeah. It's part two coming up. Like, you know, if it doesn't work, this is how to get back up in the air again.
I like the important notice at the beginning of it, which is, if you've opened this book because you find yourself in the sky, in the cockpit of a plane that you do not know how to fly, there's no need to stand on ceremony. Please skip right ahead to chapter two.
Right. Interesting.
Sounds hilarious, doesn't
it? Yeah. But Mark Van Hoenacker, he's a pilot himself.
He is. He flies for British Airways.
Yeah, and he says being a pilot is one of the best jobs in the world.
One of my favorite things to do in a city, which, you know, many travelers love, is just to sit in a coffee shop and read a book and watch, you know, people watch and watch this new city go by. And I think that, you know, to be in the window seat of an airplane as a passenger is to kind of world watch instead of people watch. You know, you sit and you look out, you can listen to music, you see glaciers and deserts and oceans pass. And it's this amazing experience of the world. And to be a pilot, to be, you know, making that experience possible for people, as well as, you know, having the unique experience of being a pilot is a wonderful thing.
Dream job.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, who would have thought that a book on how to land a plane could be quite as readable as this one? And I think if you're actually a nervous flyer, maybe, that's sometimes because you don't quite understand what's going on. And I do think books like this are genuinely useful. And Mark Van Hoenacker will be at the Litfest in March next year. He's got another book called Skyfaring.
And that's providing his plane lands, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hopefully he travels with the book in his pocket at all times.
I mean, you'd hope that by now he knows how to do it and doesn't need a book.
You'd have to hope so. Yeah, I think he's quite high up in the pilot hierarchy. So. Yeah.
You think he'd be going through the motions when, you know, as the plane is descending, you'd be thinking, oh, that's what he's doing now. And all that, he's pressing that button now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Did you feel that? Did you feel the wheels come down?
I always feel those.
So that's How to Land a Plane.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to get a book for reading while travelling home.
Yeah, slightly quirky one. I do like a bit of quirkiness in my reading choices.
Why not?
I feel I have succeeded with The Secret Life of the Owl by John Lewis Stemple.
Secret Life.
I know, but
How does he know what owls think?
He studied them very closely.
He must have. Can he talk to them? Can they have conversation? Have you had your feel into them, Mr. Owl?
I do get the impression he probably does do those things, actually. It's one of those books that's a very gentle book. And I think if you're on the metro and you're travelling home with this one, this will be absolutely brilliant. Or, you know, on a plane. Anywhere. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Fiction, I presume.
Non-fiction. It's non-fiction. It's all real.
Oh.
As I say, a slightly quirky book, but very, very factual, actually. Lots of proper natural history and biology about owls in it. But also, they are quite magical and mystical birds to watch. And, yeah. You know, the incredible wingspan they have compared with their body size and, you know, how they swivel their head around. So lots of legends and stories about owls. Mm. And, of course, Harry Potter has brought owls back to prominence.
Truth is, you know, a bit of a Harry Potter fanatic.
A Harry Potter fan, why not?
Have you got an owl at home?
No, not a real one. But I have to say, I've been into owls way before I read Harry Potter.
See?
Because in Indian mythology, an owl stands for wisdom and cleverness.
Yeah.
And I've always been about the books, so I've always had an affinity towards owls.
I think you quite enjoy this book.
We are talking books, and we've got a vet judge with us, and finally we're going to talk podcasts.
We are going to talk podcasts. I was really excited when I found this podcast, because it's a local home-produced podcast, which is quite unusual. The Frying Pan Diaries.
Yeah.
Have you ever been on the Frying Pan Adventures?
Yes,
food
I
tour?
Have. Yeah. Well, I've been one on where they kind of put photography with it as well.
Ah,
so
okay.
It was around Deira, deepest darkest Deira, taking great photographs, and it was in Ramadan when I went on one of the trails with Arva.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's Arva and her sister who are doing the podcast, and it's brilliant. They took our authors out last year, and they're going to take them again next year for us. If you want an unusual treat, and I think especially at the moment when people have got loads of friends here and family, Frying Pan Adventures, Google it. It's good.
Yeah, we've got a bit of audio about from the first episode ever.
Hey guys, this is Arva Ahmed.
And hello, this is Farida. And we are the sisters behind Frying Pan Adventures, Dubai's first dedicated food tourism company. Now, Arva and I have been doing food tours in the city for a little over 4 years. And during my journey with Frying Pan Adventures, there have been so many instances where I've regretted not having had a little recorder on hand just to record the many, many interesting conversations, whether it be a baker or a honey guy or the man making falafel on the streets. But I completely regret not having done that.
I know exactly what you mean. I've had that situation so many times where I'm just like, I wish I'd recorded that conversation. I know a bunch of people who would love to listen to this.
That sounds really good, doesn't it? Really
brilliant.
Interesting.
It's really good. Interviews, all sorts on there. It's good.
Frying Pan Diaries.
Frying Pan Diaries.
And with that podcast, that's where we have to wrap up this week's Radio Book Club. We'll see you in 7 days' time.
I hope so.
Looking forward to that.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.